Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
I paid my dues.
No, I can't.
Time after time, I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And then mistakes,
I've made a few.
I've had my share of sand kicked in my face, but I come through.
Alright, this is a D3 the Mighty Ducks.
We are the champions, my friend.
And we'll keep on fighting till the end.
Alright, let's get into this. We had to.
Episode 99. Thomas, we trust.
Yeah, beautiful guy.
I'm sorry, that's the only way you can start an episode like this.
39 years, guys.
39 years.
Too long.
You do realize that last time they even made it to the Stanley Cup, they got swept in 4 straight games by the legend himself.
Yep.
Wayne Gretzky.
Danny Wayne.
And yeah. I know I was 3 years old. This was 21 years ago.
Yeah.
That's way too long.
Yeah, it has been too long.
And now, I have to say the funniest part. Yeah. The longest championship drought in Boston belongs to the Patriots.
Still.
Yeah. It's
6 years.
That's right, yeah.
That's right.
6 years, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of pathetic.
But, dude, just remember, all 4 main championships within 10 years. We are Titan Town, baby.
Title Town.
Well, no, Titan. Titan.
Well, yeah, we're Titans. Well, we are Titans.
You have
not
to think.
Not a football team, but I mean we're
three
Titans.
Football, yeah. 2 baseball, basketball, and hockey.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we should have an 8th one up there, but we're not going to... Well, actually, we should have 9 up there.
Here's looking at you, soccer.
No,
well,
actually, I'm talking about...
if Garnett wasn't injured, they could have won. They could have won for NBA.
Well, I'm talking about the one in the NBA that we lost in Game 7.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that Super Bowl to the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
I had to. It's there. Those are the ones that we should have had.
That was that one that the ball slipped through the hands, yeah.
Yeah.
Asante Samuels.
Fucking
I remember watching that game.
I think we were forced to lose that game just because of the fact that of the issues of supposedly we were recording or whatnot.
Which every other team was doing.
John Madden admitted that he used to do it. But does everybody remember where we were watching that game?
I was at my uncle's place watching it.
I was at my house.
I was at Boo's Bomb Shelter.
We were at the Bomb Shelter.
It was me, him, and, yeah, we don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her who we do not speak of.
Yes.
But she was nice enough to bring some really good cupcakes.
Yeah, and totally trashed the Patriots saying that they weren't going to win in the first place.
And then, she wonders why we broke up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You she don't is a bitch jaw anyway, so shut up.
Hey.
She heard that. It helped
with certain things.
Yeah, okay, right. Now, you know what? Never mind. Right.
By the way, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Blahonic.
This is Mr. Cuse.
And this is the Lord Stanley's champion himself from the Boston Bruins, Anvil.
You wish. You wish you could be Tim Thomas.
What do you mean?
No, I think he wishes he was Char.
Actually, wait. I'm going to make everybody laugh. He knows the story.
Yes.
I had a gentleman yesterday tell me that like Chara and Thomas's love child.
Yep.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, but if you kind of look at me, you can kind of
yeah, you it. Can, because you kind of got the height, and then you got the face. Yeah.
And the beard going on.
I hate to say it, there's a song called and Love Child by Supreme, so there you go.
Actually, my brother, he plans on putting up on Facebook a picture of each of them and mine in the middle.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Man. Yeah.
Next to that, I think it was pretty funny that the fact that when you saw Chara go over to pick up the cup,
yeah.
Like, how the announcer was and how tall he was, he was just like, holy He's just, look at how tall he is. He's just like, and then when he held it, I think that's probably the highest the cup has ever been held.
I am Hercules!
Like, up in the air. Just like, that's everything. And then when Tim Thomas got his
Conn Smythe trophy.
Yeah. Especially being the MVP and whatnot. I think that was probably the funniest thing because he got that before the Stanley Cup, and he was just like, what the hell do I do with this thing? This thing's freaking huge! And then he finally skates it over to somebody, and he's like, here, take this! And then finally the Stanley Cup starts, you know, getting passed around, and he gets it, and,
You see, that's when Tim Thomas should have showed off his juggling skills. Yeah. Stanley Cup, the MVP trophy.
No, he's smart. He's not a Brazilian soccer player.
Yeah, that's true.
Crunch.
Ooh. Well,
I remember that.
There was the other hockey team or something like that when they got their championship award.
It fell apart.
And they were like,
yeah.
Oh my god, is this a bad omen or what?
And then they have yet to win again.
Yeah.
Yep.
But no, for those who don't know what we're talking about, this past week, the Boston Bruins.
Now, you noticed the parade.
Yes, yes.
Or the rioting in Canada.
Yeah, oh my god, those Canadians.
Okay, Canadians can riot when Metallica can't play the show because he gets blown up. then they riot, apparently, when they lost back in 2004. Now they riot again, and when you tell them that...
94.
94, was it? Okay, I'm sorry.
To the New York Rangers.
And then when when somebody in the crowd says, damn, this Canadian beer sucks, and it goes into a full-scale riot... It just, these Canadians
what?
Are violent.
I'm sorry, it did suck.
You see, that's why I've always believed their niceness was a ruse.
Yeah, it was. It's more or less, oh, hi, how you doing? We're your friendly neighbors to the north. No, you're not. You just rioted.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
Look, I got a video. It's right here. That's not us.
No,
look,
no.
Windows are broken. Cars are on fire.
There's a couple making out right over there.
Yeah, I know. The people... What was wrong with that one?
That was awesome, though.
Okay, yeah. Let's put it this way. When of course, when they said the war was over in World War II, and there was the nurse that got kissed by a sailor and stuff like that, that was, you know, poetic.
Awesome.
That was just gorgeous. Yes. Not, Canadians lose! Rock! Just like kissing on the ground, it's like that was pretty.
We're making babies,
and then you have the police up there just shooting people with rubber rounds. Tink, tink, tink. It's like whoa.
I think it's good thing to make.
Although on the plus side, that would be good birth control.
No, it wouldn't.
No.
Here we go. Ah!
The baby would start rioting too. So maybe it's a good thing I didn't.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's just one more Canadian to worry about.
So. Let me break down the... or actually, let me break down the series.
Okay.
We started off in Vancouver.
Lost.
We lose 1-0. Very great game by Tim Thomas.
Awesome game.
Next game. It's 2-2. We go into overtime. Bad play by Chara. Bad play by Thomas. They score. We're down. We lose 3-2. Down 2-0. But then we come home. And we're playing kind of flat. And all of a sudden, Aaron Rome levels Nathan Horton.
Oh, yeah.
And they awoke the sleeping Giants. And we come back and we score 8 goals. 8-1 win.
Yep.
Next game, we're down 2-1. We're at home. Score. 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 Thomas. I'm sorry. I got everything.
Yep.
We went 4-0. We go back to their home, but we drop it, and we're sitting there looking at another 1-0 loss, and us in Boston, our hearts are twisting in our chests.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're like, oh no.
But then we come home, and we win.
Yes.
And we're celebrating, and the whole chant is, we want the cup, we can do it, we want the cup.
Right.
And we go back there, a place that we have never won this playoffs. And the opening image for every one of us is Nathan Horton squirting Boston water on their ice.
Yep.
Yes.
For good luck.
Yes, for good luck.
You're looking at this man and you're like, this is inspiration. I wish Mark Savard had walked down that aisle, but I think I would have probably started crying.
Yeah.
And we come out, and it starts early in the first. A pass popped in by Patrice Bergeron.
Yep.
We're up 1-0. Yeah. We're all on the edge of our seats. Then they bring down, you know, their injured player. Ooh, I broke a vertebrae in my back because I'm a little bitch and I fell down while you're getting hit.
Yeah.
But they never came alive. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Marshmello himself, Brad Marchand, scores again. Mm-hmm. But then Bergeron scores again. We're like, oh my god, 3-0.
And but then they were like, yeah, he pushed the puck in. No,
punched
he didn't.
So then,
I'll show you a punch.
As the game's winding down, they pull their goalie with about 2, maybe 3 minutes left.
Yeah, it was about 3 minutes left.
And Marshmello hits an empty netter. We're up 4-0.
Yeah.
They end the game with a furious shot on Tim Thomas. Standing on his head, making his stops.
Yep.
Puck gets cleared. They shoot it down one more time. It bounces. Thomas grabs it. Game over. Boston Bruins, Stanley Cup champions, 2011. There we go, baby.
Yes.
Champs are in town.
Yep.
Tim Thomas wins the MVP Conn Smythe Trophy. And then Lord Stanley's Cup comes walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
Two men carrying it with a beautiful white gloves. Mm-hmm. Because their fingerprints do not deserve to be on my cup.
Nope. Yep.
And yes, we can call it our cup because we're Boston Bruins fans.
Right.
That's true.
And then you see, you know, the happiness. And a little thing a lot of people don't realize is near the end of the game, when it was almost over, Claude Julien tells Nathan Horton, go to the locker room, put on your uniform. Because we had the game in hand. He's like, when this game ends, I want you on that ice. And as soon as it ended, Horton was allowed to skate out there with his teammates.
Yeah.
Just the way it should have been.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a shame that Mark Savard couldn't
join. I know. And actually, on Facebook, I'm telling everybody now, it goes till September. I want everybody to go and do it. They're doing an online petition to have Mark Savard's name put on the trophy.
Nice.
Because the requirements are you have to play at least 43 games in the regular season or one playoff game. But there are special, you know, exemptions. Right. He played 25 games this year, but the injury kept him from finishing. His name should be on there. So I know everybody here with this group will be, you know, putting their name on that petition.
Yeah.
I'll send it to all you guys if you can't find it. But, yeah, it's huge. And just being able to witness this.
Yes.
Now, to get a little emotional to everybody here for a minute.
Yep. All right, get the tissues ready.
I grew up watching this, you know, my uncle, grandfather, my mother, everybody in the family. And all this other good stuff. But my Uncle Dave is a big hockey fan, especially the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks before we won it, he wound up passing away. And watching us hold the, you know, hold this cup was very emotional. This is something that he wanted to see. And I know, we know people who have passed who would have loved to have watched this moment, who never had a chance.
Mm-hmm. It's like the people who passed away before I ever seen the Red Sox
exactly.
win
the
championship.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Same or the Pats or whatever.
So, you know, to all of us, this means a lot more than, you know, to other people.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know, standing there at the parade, it was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right. Let's talk about this parade for a little bit, because, all right, talk about what happened to you first off.
Which part?
The first part, when you first came into Boston. Oh, boy. There are some stupid things you can do in life.
We're not going to talk about that.
What, did he get stuck in the door again?
No. No, no. Here's what happened. Anvil was... He got up at the butt crack of dawn at 5 in the morning to go into Boston. Went to TD Garden to see him go off. When he realizes... I forgot my money! And he has to go all the way back.
All the way there. And I forgot my money, so I had to head back to Lynn. It happens. I cleaned out my wallet the night before and forgot to put the cash back in.
You're probably so excited about the moment. That
exactly.
You
I'm just like,
yeah, I'd be excited
too. I mean, business cards, this doesn't need to be here. You know, my jersey's hanging up and my hat's there. I'm set.
Now, fortunately, my dad and I, we got up at around like 7-ish. Anvil and I were texting back and forth. My dad and I, we went to Government Center. And what, I think like 5 minutes, as soon as we got there, I gave you a call. Hey, I'm in Government Center.
And my train was just pulling into Government Center. So I went up to meet with him, and I actually ran into my cousin while I was there.
Yeah.
And where we were standing, there was like a little wall with spruce trees, and literally we could stand on them.
Right.
Which was, you know, really cool. So we're all standing there, and, you know, we're meeting new people, you know, this small right. group of us now hanging out, talking.
Yeah,
you
know. Oddly enough, a lot of us were from Lynn.
Yes. So I actually met this gentleman who made a comment about my looks. And it's not what you think. He referred to me as Chira and Thomas's love child because of pure height and looks.
Right.
I have a picture with a replica Stanley Cup, which was actually taken by Nathan Horton, who kept it.
Yep. That dude's mother is going to be pissed when he finds out she's not going to get her bull back.
Yeah, I took a water, you know, a 5-gallon water container, wrapped in tinfoil, and then put it in his mom's mixing bowl on top, and now Nathan Horton has it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which was, like, really cool. And, you know, we got some really good pictures.
Yep, they're on the site now.
Yeah. I actually, you know, we had to push off people because literally they were trying to grab onto to yank themselves in. Yes. And, you know, it's like, you know, back away.
Did you get to kiss the cup? The replica?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Good.
But the gentleman wanted that picture for himself as well. That's me smiling. And the other one that the guy took, I don't have it myself, was me. He wanted me to do the Chara yell, so I'm like, but it was a great time. And easily a million people in Government Center alone.
Yeah.
And truthfully, it went off pretty well.
Yeah.
The police did a great job. You know, I have to commend Boston Police for everything that they did.
Right. There was a woman who fainted.
Due to dehydration.
Of course.
And the police were quick to respond. Mm-hmm. And they actually had EMTs on bicycles.
Yeah.
Patrolling the area. And one of them got in there very quickly and they were able to help her out. There was a woman there with some, you know, with really small children that couldn't see. And the cop actually moved them into the fenced off area
right
around the spruce tree so they could actually see what was going on, which was really nice.
That's nice. Yeah,
yeah.
He was a Boston detective.
I feel bad for the guy who had to be in the Bruins, the actual Bruins bear.
They had that and the mascot
IV system on.
Yeah, well, they had their mascot. I couldn't get a picture of it.
Oh, that sucks.
But I like the actual bear than the
yeah
than
that's the one that mascot. We know better, you know, from all the commercials and the swirlies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. I was going, oh, that bear's going to be there. And Anvil was like, he's not going to be there. And here he was.
Because they already showed the other mascot. I'm like, oh, he's not going to be there, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there he is.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we talked to a lot of great people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
We talked to the dude from the item.
Yeah, we talked to Steve Krause, the sports writer for the, you know, Daily Evening Item here in Lynn, which was, you know, great guy. Then we, you know, we actually took a walk over by the garden, got some pictures with the Bobby Orr statue. Went and grabbed a bite to eat, and actually got to watch Chara leave.
Oh, yes.
Now,
this is epic.
Now, most people walk out like normal people and go hop in their car and leave, right? Mm-hmm. Chara doesn't do that.
Nah.
Chara comes riding out on a 10-speed. When he goes to the crowd, he does arms up like he was the Tour de France, and he's going by Slappy Pills 5 as he rides his bicycle away. He didn't bring his car, he brought his bicycle.
Shows the type of man that he is.
Well, I think it's along the lines of there has been a lot of the sports people that have been using bikes to get, like, if they live right, like, kind of in the area and whatnot, they'll hop on their mountain bike and go to, it gives them that workout to go in, and then they have the workout when they're, you know, at practice and whatnot.
But it was an old looking 10 speed, which was awesome. It reminded me of.
That's how badass he is.
I wouldn't mess with Chara.
No, there's nobody that would mess with Chara.
Well, there's a couple. Luchik, Thornton.
Yeah,
you know.
But
they're on the same team.
They're on the same team.
They could win, though.
Luchik is pretty tough.
I think the greatest person we got a chance to see was Grandpa. Mark Grandpa. Retschy.
Really?
He retired. Actually, technically, he retired right before the game, saying that would be his last game.
Nice.
3 Stanley Cup championships for him. Over 3 decades, he's one of only a handful of people to do it. He won one in 1991 with the Pittsburgh Penguins, back in 2006 with the Carolina Hurricanes, and now with us in 2011.
He's 43 years old, too. Yeah. Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I believe 91 might have been his rookie year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
He's a winner. I mean, everywhere right. He's been a winner.
He's a guaranteed Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of rookies, too, you got to give it up for, what was his name? 19-year-old...
Oh, Sagan?
Taylor Sagan?
Yeah.
Tyler Sagan, yeah.
Actually, there's one other rookie that I think played better than him.
Marshawn.
Yep. Brad Marchand.
Yeah, Marshmallow. Brad Marchand.
Oh, right.
He did a lot better this year.
He had the most goals by a rookie in the playoffs.
Now, I don't know if we can do a poll on our page, but there was something I do want to try to poll. Does Thomas deserve to go to the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think yes.
Most definitely.
I mean, Conn Smythe Trophy, one of only two Americans to ever win it. Only five people who have won it that weren't Canadian.
And he's one of the 15 goalies or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, one of the 15 goalies ever to win it.
Yep.
He's won a Stanley Cup. He set an NHL record for most pucks, most shots stopped in a playoff, whole playoffs with 798.
Multiple shutouts.
Multiple shutouts. And he actually has the most saves in Stanley Cup history. We're like 200 and something.
That's ridiculous.
What else is there? He's nominated for a second Vezina, which he'll find out next week if he wins it, which I believe he will.
Yeah, he'll win
that. He'll win that, yeah.
Like, okay, Luongo and somebody else have been nominated. Luongo's been nominated three times, hasn't won one.
Yeah.
Thomas has won one and been nominated twice. So that means this is his second nomination. He can win two out of two. I know he hasn't had a long career here. But I think it's, you know, enough to earn him the Hall.
Yes, and I agree with you. Especially with what he had to go through in order to get here.
Yeah.
Plus he signed a big contract, right? So he's going to play...
I think next year is the last year on the contract.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Or the year after, I can't remember. But I'd love to watch Thomas continue, and truthfully, I would think he deserves the Hall. He actually wears the number of the last person to win the Stanley Cup as a goalie, Jerry Cheevers.
Mm.
Lord Stanley, 70-72, Hall of Fame, 85. So truthfully, if you're from Boston, this has been a really awesome week. If you are a Boston sports fan, this has been phenomenal. If you're a Bruins fan, it's been emotional.
Mm. Yes.
Now, if you're a Luongo fan, it's been pretty bad.
If you want your kid to, you know, learn how to be a great goal scorer, take him to Luongo's camp. Just teach him how to hit that five hole.
And teach him also how to have the puck go between your legs.
Well, the five hole, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know what I heard? Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles decided they wanted to try hockey.
Oh, jeez.
They both scored on Luongo.
Oh. Yeah. And that's impressive considering Ray Charles has been dead for almost a decade.
That's the hard part.
Luongo also said that they did not appreciate him enough when he said good things about them, too. So that's the other thing.
Yes.
Now, seeing that we're on the topic of NHL, the awards is going to be actually this Wednesday.
Yes.
Now,
we have a couple members actually nominated.
Now, what do you think about the guy who's going to be running or hosting this show, Jay Moore?
I think it's going to be hilarious. I can't... Well, everybody knows he's a hockey fan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be really funny or it could be horrible. But
then
we do have a few Bruins on the list for trophies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tim Thomas for the Vezina.
Hell yeah.
Zdeno Chara for the Norris.
Nice.
Which is best defenseman. For some reason, Thomas's name does not appear for the Hart Trophy, which everybody believes it should.
Yeah.
Which is the league MVP. One of the Sedin girls are on there.
I call them the Sedin sisters, by the way.
Yes.
Right. Two girls, no cup.
I have a question. What about do they have Rookie of the Year?
All that's been given out.
Oh, it's been given out already. Okay.
Well, no. It's going to be given out that night, but we don't have anybody.
Oh, we don't. Okay. I didn't know about like Marshawn.
I wish they did.
Yeah.
Hey, quick question. Yeah. Why do they have water fountains in Vancouver?
Why do they have water?
Oh!
You want to know why?
I know the answer.
Do you guys know the answer?
No.
I think we should tell everybody. Because they have no cups! What time is it in Vancouver?
I don't know.
20 past Luongo. Okay, I'm done with my jokes. I got one more, but it's not appropriate for the show.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's about a very sore topic, so I'm not going to throw it out there on the show.
Are you sure? You look like you want to tell it.
I do, but I'll tell it to the group after.
Okay, fine.
I'll show some respect.
So yeah, now the question I'm thinking right now is, do you think the Bruins can repeat it next year?
Yes.
Why?
90% of our team is still under contract. 90% of our team's coming back. So I don't see why we couldn't. And we're $10 million under the cap. That's $10 million we can spend on little pieces.
Yep.
I mean, I guess my opinion is I think so, too. I mean, they also have the number 7 pick in next year's draft. They have a lot of young players. You know, they have a couple of rookies that had good seasons.
Sagan, hopefully get some better work out of him. I mean, more, I know he's going to be working a lot on his stuff. But Marshawn needs to show that it just wasn't a rookie, you know, luck.
Yes.
And then we just need pure production. Some other guys do need to, you know,
toughen up.
Yeah.
Well, that and repair themselves from some of the injuries that they obtained.
Because Timmy needs to play like this.
There was some serious, you know, injuries that we had to deal with this year.
I mean, do you think Savard has any chance of coming back?
No.
I mean, he's had 3 concussions, right? So that's tough to come
and
back.
Truthfully,
right?
I don't think he'll ever play again.
I think that is the rule of like what the NHL is trying to get to everybody. It's like 3 concussions, you're out. I think that's more or less that could be. Yeah,
it might be a forced retirement.
It's true. In like football. Brian Westbrook, who was a running back for the Eagles, he was out like a whole year because he had a couple of concussions, and he hasn't played much. And now he's on San Francisco, and he's like a non-factor. So
exactly.
I think it's tough when you have that many because it's dangerous. If you have one, you can come back, but you get a couple of them, and you don't want to ruin the whole player.
It depends on
life. So
how long they were stretched out over too,
right?
Because I know I've had a couple over my career. But I've had, you know, 3 stretched over about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Including 1 major, but, you know, it happens.
Right.
Now, also with this, you have to, you know, remember, we do have a good group of reserve players. Including, now, I'm going to make you all laugh. You ready for this? Guess who was in the parade yesterday?
Who?
Our 3rd string goalie.
Who's our 3rd string goalie?
Anton something. I can't pronounce the last name. He's from Russia. But yet Tuukka Rask wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see Tuukka.
Huh.
Is it any of these Antons? Anton Chekhov, Anton Khudobin, Anton Heisen?
I think it's Khudobin.
Anton Khudobin? Let's see if you are correct. You are correct!
Look at you! Anton Khudobin. And he actually looks special.
Yeah, but I think that's because of the fact that Tuukka Rask wasn't able to step up like he was last year. Last year was his year of being, you know, the goalie and whatnot. And Tim Thomas this year was just absolutely dominating. And every time Tuukka got in the net, it went to crap. It just
He actually
it was
had
a couple
year.
Of games that he was okay, but it wasn't like he was on a constant like I'm saving here.
I mean. Anvil, I kind of think that, you know, Tuukka obviously played last year, he played in the playoffs, and he got kind of worn out, you know, as the playoffs went on, and I think that Tim Thomas just showed that he was, you know, a great goalie this year, and you got to go with the hot goalie,
of course.
The one with the longevity and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, Tuukka is a good goalie, but he just needs to really work on some things here and there.
He's young.
He's time.
Yes. Right?
He's only like 23, 24.
Right. He needs to toughen up a little bit more, get a little more scars on his face and whatnot.
I know.
He still counted as a winner of the cup, right?
Who, Anton?
No, not Anton. Well, maybe even Anton, but I'm just saying as
Tuukka?
As Tuukka, yeah.
Yeah, he'll get a ring.
Yeah.
Whether or not his name's put on the trophy, I don't know. As a backup goalie, he probably will because that's falls under a special circumstance.
Yeah.
But that I'm not sure, but they will get rings.
Okay.
All right, I got a Jewish joke for you guys.
Oh no!
Oh no!
All right.
Oh no!
I'll say it and I'll explain it. No, it's not racism.
Wait! We need to make sure everybody knows he is Jewish, so he's allowed to make this joke.
He's allowed to say that. He's like, you know, the guys from South Park.
Yeah, we're still looking for a Polish person to come in so we can have him tell some Polish jokes.
Oh,
all right, so Tuukka kicked Tush because Tuukka kind of sounds like Tush.
Yeah.
That's my Jewish joke for the day. Okay. All right. Anyways,
kick some Tuukka.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd be like kicking tuna.
The tuna!
You don't hear that?
Oh, man.
I hear crickets again.
Oh
you jackass.
Jerk.
But yeah, so.
Wanker.
The Bruins brought home the Stanley Cup.
And it was a beautiful
game.
Yes, it was gorgeous.
Now, here's my question. Now, how does it work in regards to the names on the Stanley Cup? As the years progress, do they remove a part of it?
They add on. The cup will only get bigger. Do you know what the original cup looked like?
What?
You know the cup on the very, very top?
Yeah.
That's all it was. They've added rings.
So...
that's why there's requirements to get your name on the trophy, so there's room.
All right, so... but that makes me wonder, how small are the names going to be on there?
Literally, a team will take about that much of the trophy.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they just list the last names?
Nope, first and last.
That's holy shit.
Yeah.
Yep, that's wow. Lord Stanley right there. When he was just a wee little infant.
And that's how it's been progressing.
But I think the original's kind of like Tiny Stanley, the way it was so small. But
yes.
That's
yes,
like
wee Tiny Stanley before he went to elementary school.
Oh, I hate you.
Somebody shank him.
This isn't prison, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Just because I live in the hood doesn't mean I can shank people, I know. So, let's just say we are the champions.
My
the cup is ours.
No, and we'll keep on fighting till the end.
No!
No time for losers, because we are the champions.
We have to do the chant.
I wonder if I borrow this.
You guys ready to do the chant?
Yes.
Oh, what?
We got the cup! We got the cup! We got the cup! We got the cup!
All right, everybody.
Yeah!
So, yeah.
Is there really anything else to talk about in sports? Let's ask Mr. Q's.
Alright, yeah. There is other things going on besides the Bruins winning the Stanley Cup.
There is?
There is. I mean, it's not just the Bruins. I mean, it's not just Bruins, although I'd like to think of that way. But
that'd be
not just. That would be cool, wouldn't it?
All Bruins, all the time. 24-7. 365. Sometimes 366, depending on the leap year.
What?
And when it comes to that leap year... on that one day, we will play every Stanley Cup win by the Bruins.
I think what Mr. Cuse is trying to say is the Red Sox, they've been doing stuff.
Wait. Red Sox started already?
What? Yeah, you jerk.
I'm sorry, you know, when hockey goes this far, we lose track of time.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, the Red Sox did play last night, moved to a 7 o'clock time because of the celebration for the Bruins and the parade. And Lester pitched last night trying to get his 10th victory, major league leading 10th victory. So anyways, he gave up a couple home runs in the first inning. They're down 2-0, and then Red Sox tied it up. And then he gave up a couple more runs and pitched well after that, pitched into the 8th inning. But the Red Sox were not able to get any more runs after that. So they lost the game 4-2. Which was too bad, you know. The Brewers are actually a good team, though.
They are Brewers.
I mean,
Fortuna likes to cheat and put booze into the Red Sox drinking water.
Wait a second.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Now, two to three days ago, I think I saw the Red Sox won 10-4.
Yes, the Brewers.
So it wasn't, you know, it's just one of those things. It's a back and forth tennis match.
Yeah,
right.
So truthfully, the team, I think, come October. We'll all be sitting around here wearing our Red Sox jerseys doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
I got my jersey ready.
Okay, we need reason to believe that. Otherwise, we're just going to be jinxing ourselves again.
No.
Well, they have a very talented
team. They did
team.
Have a rocky and rough start this season. This was one of those seasons where we're not used to this. We're used to the Red Sox kind of kicking ass, taking names, and then by the middle of the summer, they kind of drop off a little bit because they already gotten to that point, and then it comes down to the point where they make the playoffs and... hopefully they keep going from there. But right now, it seems like the rocky start kind of helped us, like, wake them up and then say, all right, we got to get our stuff wired right now and, you know, let's keep going. So finally now they've gotten into the flow. They've gotten the right guys that they need in the positions, and now they're winning games and doing what they need to take care of.
And we're actually one of the top teams in baseball right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the one negative thing is that Carl Crawford's going on the 15-day DL, which we found out yesterday.
Which sucks.
But you know, I think they're still playing well. They lost last night, which is too bad. But hopefully, they'll continue to play well coming up. And they have Tim Wakefield who'll be pitching today for them. So hopefully, they can get back on track.
Tim Wakefield.
Yeah.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Two.
Not
so, yeah, looks like for the next few weeks at least, it's just going to be all about baseball. There really isn't any other Boston sports to really discuss.
You make Anvil go back into his hole.
Yeah, yes. Anvil's pretty
There's upset. Always MMA.
Well, speaking of MMA.
Okay.
Next Saturday, here in Boston.
Right.
At the Union 103, Cage Titan Fighting Championship will be putting on Vendetta. A really big event with some really great friends, amateur and pro. Now, one of the guys, Davis Roast, I know I wrote a little article about this on, you know, our website, but I do want to mention it. He will be fighting, and his entire purse is going to be donated to the Travis Roy Foundation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which nice. Is a great cause.
And he's going to be fighting against Josh Flores.
Yes. Now, if you actually go and look at our article, there was actually a picture of me with Davis Roast, his friend, and Travis Roy.
Himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really, really cool. Like, I actually had a chance to talk to him. I met all these people from Cage Titan, and they put on a great show. It's prices go between $40 and $75, which is a really cheap price to go see as many fights again.
Yep.
It looks like there's almost 20 fights on here.
Question, was this guy at the event that we went to?
I don't remember.
Because this picture makes it look like he's frightened. Like, like, look at this.
Yeah,
it looks like he's frightened. Like, he's like, oh, get away from me. I'm not going to say his name because I don't
want to punch in the face.
Exactly.
But if you get a chance, check it out. You can go to their website at CageTitansFC.com and check out everything. You won't be disappointed with the event.
Yep.
Like I said, it's Saturday, June 25th, 2011 at the local 103 Union Hall, 256 Freeport Street.
Yeah, Freeport Street, Boston.
Yeah.
Yep. And the main event is going to be Anthony Caponis, who doesn't he own Cage Titan or...
No.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
That's Michael that owns Cage.
Oh. Well, it's going to be him against Nick Newell. Nick Newell.
And there's some really good fights on this. There's 20 fights. So basically, look at it as, you know, if you buy the $40 ticket, you're paying $2 a fight.
Yeah.
Can't beat it. So go check them out. Go to their website, CageTitansFC.com.
Dude, we should try to make it to this event.
We can talk about that.
Okay. All right.
So, check them out.
So, okay.
Let's go with sports.
Is that it with sports?
No, there's actually more.
You got more?
Okay. Rory McIlroy for the U.S. Open actually is minus 14 after three rounds. It's the best score after three rounds for anyone ever. And he actually has an 8-stroke lead over Y.E. Yang, and he's just... Excuse me?
I sneezed.
Okay. He's just playing, amazing right now. He's actually never won a major, but the two of the last four majors, he has been leading after three rounds. So,
and wasn't he the same one that had the like 12,000 shot?
Yeah, he shot an 80 in the last round. The last
it's like bounce off tree, bounce off tree, bounce off tree, miss, bounce off tree in the dirt.
But I think he's going to win this time. He's got such a huge lead. He's playing with a lot of confidence. And he's already lost some majors, so he has the experience of he knows how to play well and not screw it up like last time. So, and I actually predicted that he would win. I remember when we were watching the Bruins game, I said that. I don't know if you remember that. But so prediction's looking pretty good right now. And I love watching golf, so I want to see what happens, and hopefully he can finish it off.
Golf's boring.
It is not boring. I'm sorry.
What about Phil?
Phil is not doing... that great now. No. I know.
Golf is
still
boring.
Bad. I wish he could have. I wish he could be out there right now because I think he's one of the most professional golfers.
We might see him retire soon.
Yeah, that's true. But I think he should be one of the ones that should have won this a couple times. It has escaped him what, four times now.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing about Rory is he's 22 years old. He's from Northern Ireland and he's very young. So I think he's basically the future. Of future of golf, and he'll win many more times. He could end up being as great as someone like Tiger Woods if he keeps if he starts winning tournaments.
So he's gonna cheat on his wife with a whole bunch of women,
and golf clubs are gonna be falling through.
You made a weird face when he said Northern Ireland.
We're not going to discuss Northern Ireland.
You did make a weird face. But
hey, I'm a true Irishman. I'm sorry.
And what? Northern Ireland's not true Irish?
That's the part that's owned by England.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Hello!
I will jam a pole in your ass and send you to Jeff Dunham.
Oh!
See?
He's going to be jalapeno on a cake named the baby duck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so that's it for golf.
Peking duck on a steak.
Yes. That's it. Unless, do you have anything else for sports to add?
Oh, I got to add one more thing. Go Bruins! Okay, I'm done.
All right. We good? We solid gold? We solid black and gold?
Hey, you know what they say? Black and gold, black and gold. No, it doesn't sound right.
Go, go, black and gold. Old-time hockey, time to go. Grab the puck, it's time to go.
No, no, no. Why?
This is the singing episode. That's how happy we are. Eddie hits me with the hat. Very mature of you. Very mature of you.
I'm sorry, I thought I was in Vancouver for a minute there.
He thought you were the ground and we were rioting, so. Yeah. Okay.
No, he thought I was a pane of glass and there was a giant TV that he wanted to steal.
I thought you were one of the Sedin brothers.
Oh, Sedin twisters.
Don't you mean Sedin sisters?
Yeah, they're sisters. They're not brothers. They're little wimps.
Did you ever see the TV show growing up?
No.
Sister, sister.
Oh. Whatever happened to the Maoris?
Never mind.
One of them's actually doing the show, The Game, the football show.
Oh. And where's the other one?
I don't know. I can't even tell you which one's doing that.
Probably did.
Oh.
Oh.
No, the Olsen twins are going to die first.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All okay. Right. Awkward.
With some blow up the nose and some random dude.
Next. Well, let's move on to movies.
Movies?
Because there was a movie I saw a couple weeks ago with Nenya that I didn't have a chance to really talk about.
Really? What is it?
Yes, what movie is it?
I don't know. What is it?
I have this list here, dude, so you don't have to take away my notes.
I'm taking your notes, and you like it. All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, what is it?
It's a movie about one of our favorite little bears out there, even though it's not technically a... No, it is a bear. Yeah.
It's a panda bear.
Yeah, it's a panda bear. Kung Fu Panda 2.
Whoa, sports is over.
We don't have to talk... We're not talking about the Bruins Bears.
No. Kung Fu Panda plays for the Giants, San Francisco.
Oh, that's right.
You're right.
Pablo Sandoval.
That's true. Yeah.
That's right. By the way, this is the sequel, hence why there's a 2 at the end of the title.
Yes.
To the 2008 film Kung Fu Panda.
So you're predicting they're going to win it twice?
No.
I
was going to say, because if you're predicting our Sox to lose, we're going to have some issues.
No. Now, for this movie, it's a continuation, which is a good thing. So it's not going to be repeating the same film. Give me my fucking notes, you dumbass.
I'm trying to read the notes.
That's two already.
Hey, he dropped the F-word.
I know, he did.
Yes, it's not me! Ha!
This one has Poe, who was the panda, and the Furious Five battling with Lord Shen, who is an evil Indian peafowl that uses the beauty of fireworks to bring utter destruction. He basically creates like these massive cannons who destroy shit all over the place.
So he's a terrorist.
Language.
Kind of, sort of. Well, what it is Lord Shen was kicked out of his kingdom because their foreseer saw great destruction from him if he took over. So the parents kicked him out. He came back. Vengeance time!
Yay.
Destroyed it and is now trying to take over the world of China and take an end, or rather put an end, to Kung Fu.
As they know it.
Yes. Now, one of the other things to note is that Lord Shen was responsible for the near extinction of the pandas, and it explains what happened to Po's family. Because as some of you might know, Po's dad is a duck. Mm-hmm. Not me.
Oh.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah, there is some kind of controversy about that.
Yes, there is controversy. Can a duck raise a panda on their own?
So that means you...
I have a good answer to this, but I think Pandalicious would be mad if I talked about that.
I'm going right there.
I think you should stay away from that one.
Yes.
That's
before
a story.
She stomps you.
It's a story we don't talk about.
Yeah. But anyway, it's about finding out who someone really is and just realizing who their family truly is in the long run. What I liked about this film was it was a great blend of CGI effects as well as the traditional cel-shaded animation. And what was cool, too, was the fighting sequences and how they were done. And in my opinion, it would have been amazing to see some of these sequences in live action, specifically in something that Stephen Chow would do. Like, if you've seen Kung Fu Hustle, how they did that movie. Just the flat-out cartoonish elements to it with the kick-ass Kung Fu thrown in there. If they could have done this in live action, it would have been great. Granted, Jack Black would have been sweating in that giant panda suit. And
if you could just paint him as a panda, he'd be fine.
It would be hard to shrink down Seth Rogen as the Mantis.
Sure you could.
Did you see this in 3D or just regular?
I just saw this in regular 2D. Okay. Because I feel like if you don't see it in IMAX, you're not getting the real 3D experience.
Okay.
I felt like the storyline wasn't as strong as the first movie, but it was very interesting to see what happened with Poe and his family. And it's very dark. I mean, for a family movie, there was a lot of dark elements to it. Not as dark as, say, Where the Wild Things Are.
I was about to say.
But kind of dark for what they were conveying in this film.
Well, in the first one, it seemed kind of dark, especially with the main tiger there that was trying to kill everybody.
And you remember who played him, right?
Not off the top of my head, but
Al Swearinger himself.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Yeah.
And great, now I just forgot his name, too.
Ha-ha.
But the cast was very well voiced, as in the last one. Dustin Hoffman wasn't in it as much as the first one.
Yeah.
And the person who played Lord Shen, Gary Oldman.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but this guy knows how to play a good villain, even if it's just his voice. Oh. Especially if he's just a peacock.
He was in Book of Eli, right?
Yep. And he played Sirius Black in the Harry Potter films.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Yeah. This guy's really talented, and it shows that he can bring a lot of talent in just his voice alone. And what's good about this film as well is if you've not seen the first one, you won't be lost seeing the second one, because there is a part where you get caught up with what happened. Altogether, it was a finely told movie, great action sequences, and very nice visuals. And what was cool about it as well is that the animators knew how to pay respect to the traditional Chinese art style, especially in the cel-shaded sections. So you got a lot of good respect from DreamWorks to the Chinese element. So for a grade, I can give this a 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
Was it better than the first one, would you say?
It's hard to compare the two because when you compared the Hangover last week to the first and second ones, it was easy because they were very similar. These two, on the other hand, there was more of a, like I said, more of a continuation.
Okay.
Because there wasn't anything repeated, so it felt like it was a totally different movie.
Way to be.
Yes, exactly. Because you don't want to pay like $8 to see the same film again.
Okay. When it comes to Hangover, I do.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Mr. Hughes, did you still want to talk about this movie, Super 8, that you got to
see?
Yeah,
I did. I saw Super 8, which was written by J.J. Abrams, who wrote
Lost,
and then I also was also directed by Steven Spielberg.
Who No. J.J. Abrams directed it as well. Mm.
Super 8.
Steven Spielberg.
Directed and written by J.J. Abrams.
And produced by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, he had Spielberg
has name somewhere in there.
All right, anyways, okay. So the movie took place in Ohio in the 70s.
Like the state of Ohio or the Indian Ohio?
State of Ohio. So Joe, who's a 13-year-old, lost his mother in an accident. Okay. And obviously it was very sad, very tragic for him. He spent a lot of alone time after that. But then he met up with his friends, Charles, Preston, Martin, Carrie, and then also this other girl who was Dan Yard's daughter, who father was a drunk and did not get along very well with Joe's father.
Okay.
So, anyways, there was a car accident, and what happened was a car collided into a train while Joe and his friends were making a movie that they're going to call Super 8. And basically, they didn't know what happened. They almost got killed by the explosion of the train and the car. And
that's when this creature escaped.
That's correct? When the creature escaped, and yeah, then mayhem happened. And yeah, they're trying to figure out, you know, what was going on, and the government was kind of like taking control, and people started disappearing, and they didn't know why. So these kids were trying to figure out what was going on with everyone disappearing.
So, considering this is from J.J. Abrams, was there a lot of mystery behind what was going on? Was there like some little hidden stuff? You know, kind of like, if you've ever seen Lost, so how much mystery was behind that show? Man. Although the last 15 minutes of the last episode was a big screw you to the fan base.
Of course it was.
Yeah, I mean, basically there was a lot of mystery because you were trying to figure out who was disappearing, why it was disappearing. You know, you didn't know at first that what was going on, you know, with the monster and what was going on with the people and why they were, you know, you couldn't find them. So there was a lot of mystery. I basically thought that Elle Fanning, who's Dakota Fanning's younger sister, did a great job acting. But I don't know. I thought the other actors were just so-so. Like, I thought they played their part, but they didn't do anything special in my eyes. And I thought the plot could have been a little better. Like, I know it was suspenseful, but I didn't feel like a lot actually took place in the movie. I thought there could have been more that could have happened in there. So I guess my rating would be probably a 3.8 out of 5.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I would say. I mean, I would say, you know, it was okay, but nothing spectacular. So.
Okay. All right. So, do any of you guys have any movies you want to discuss?
I have one, but I don't know if I want to discuss it.
Why? Which movie is it?
It's called You Don't Know Jack.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No.
Yes.
No.
The Jack Kevorkian movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So. I saw that as well, and oh, no.
I think I might just leave that up as one I'll write as a review.
All right.
Because, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good movie myself, especially with Al Pacino.
But yeah.
I'll leave that up as a review for you people to look at later.
I saw
Sorry, she's got to die, but she's got a great ass!
I saw a Jeter movie.
Hoo-ah!
Actually, I saw two of the movies.
Okay.
Okay. One of them, now I know me and Blue have seen the rest of them. Remember Sniper with Tom Berenger?
Yeah, there's now the one with the sun, right?
Sniper Reloaded. And actually, I think that's, you know, the gentleman that played the sun did a better job.
Really?
I really thoroughly enjoyed the movie. It's goes straight back to the crap that we're used to. And Billy Zane's actually back in
it. Yeah, Billy Zane's back, but I don't know how he could be back because of the fact that, you know, such a bitch.
Actually, he plays a tougher guy in this one.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
And he uses Barrett.
Nice. I like that. It's Chad Michael Collins as Sergeant Brad Beckett.
Yep.
Yep.
And the whole story actually kind of opens up with a deposition being taken for a court-martial against him for going AWOL and dereliction of duty and a whole bunch of other stuff. And the whole story is told as his deposition. So it breaks down into this. And the only time Tom Berenger's actually showed is his picture.
So kind of like Josh Ford Revenge where, what was his name? The main character from the first movie, his picture was shown.
So truthfully, if you like the Sniper series, see this. It's not the most action-packed thing. It's not a great movie.
It's not a great movie?
Yeah, I got like 5.5 over here for IMDb.
You know, but it's one of those you can't stop watching.
Oh,
because truthfully, I'm gonna blow a scene right now for everybody. I don't care because 90% of our people won't see it. Billy Zane's laying up in a sniper position with Barrett. For those that don't know what Barrett is, it's a Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifle.
That's a huge bitch.
A gentleman peeks out from behind a building and moves back. It's a stone building.
He's a gentleman, right?
Yes, a gentleman.
Okay.
He plays the same character from the original.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is the same guy. He comes into the movie to help Michael.
Richard Miller or Billy Zane is playing the same character that he was in the original
movie. Well, what's the other kid's name?
What do you mean? The sergeant?
Yeah. We'll just say Beckett's son.
Beckett, yeah.
And he comes to help him because he owes the father. So, you know, one of the bad guys peeks out, goes back, he shoots right through the building and blows the dude in half.
Yep.
It was awesome. And do you know what the sad part is? The main character isn't even a sniper.
Really?
Yeah.
What is he?
Just normal.
He's like just a normal infantry guy. Or something like that?
No, he's a sergeant, but he's more infantry. So, you go through it all, but I'm still going to give it a 4, because I like the series, and it was almost like a continuation. Mm. And there's a lot of deceit, betrayal, and all that other good stuff.
Okay, I have a question. Yep. It was a very violent movie, would you say?
To a point. There's a lot of talking, but then you find out a lot about like the betrayal. But when the firefights came out, like this dude literally got blown in half. You saw some good stuff. There was some good shootouts.
But it wasn't like the Rambo.
Yeah, movie. I was just gonna say that. Not even close. Say that. Yeah. The Rambo, yeah.
Because he had money backing that one. This one probably didn't have as much of a backing.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. But truthfully, I think I like the smaller movies too. But like I said, I'll give it a 4. I actually enjoyed it. Enjoyed sitting down to watch it.
Yeah.
And then I decided to watch another movie after. Now, I got these movies from Redbox.
Uh-oh. What movie now?
No Strings Attached.
Oh, with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman. Oh, I actually heard good things about this movie.
I actually liked it. It was hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing.
So, all right. So the movie, Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman make a deal to basically...
Wait. That's a little bit in.
Oh, really?
They start off as children.
Oh, yikes.
At a camp, and they meet each other there. And this is like all these years earlier. And they're sitting there talking and blah, blah, blah. And he like cries over something and whatever. And then he's like, can I, you know, play with you? She's like, no. So then it goes years later and they bump into each other and, you know, they talk, go their own ways. But then finally it comes to this point. They meet each other. He gets like stone cold wasted. Wakes up naked on a couch. And there's this cute blonde sitting there. He thinks he sleeps with her. No, there's an Indian girl, I apologize. He thinks he slept with her. Then the blonde girl comes in. Yeah.
Wait, Native American or Indian?
No, Indian.
Okay.
And then comes to find he didn't sleep with anybody. He just wound up there drunk. Hmm. You know, and at first he thought, you know, even worse, because he had no parents, he couldn't find them. And this gentleman comes out and he's like, you left your socks in my room? And he got bad thoughts because, you know, the gentleman was a homosexual. And somehow his pants were in Natalie Portman's room. So he goes in to get them, and they wind up sleeping together. And that's when the deal's made. And it goes through the entire story of them, you know, doing this, and then him falling back and forth, whatever. And at the end, it was actually kind of cool. Because she's all upset, and she's talking to her sister, and she's like crying, blah blah blah, sister. And this is one of the funniest lines I think I've ever seen, because I'm not gonna give too much away. But the sister's like, "How much money do you have?" She's like $10. She's like, "Okay, because 50 donut holes is like 5 something. You're gonna need 2 of those." So she's driving down the street, bawling, jamming Munchkins into her face. She sees Ashton Kutcher, she's got powdered sugar covering her face. It was hilarious. This movie was hilarious. I think everybody should see it.
Yeah, we were supposed to see this movie.
We were.
Don't look at me. Just don't. Just don't. Shut up.
They do have parts that are like High School Musical.
Oh, no.
Wait. There's a reason for it. No. He actually works on the set of that kind of show. So they don't show too much of it.
Oh, good.
And his dad's a total jerk. He winds up dating his son's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
But I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Highly recommend seeing it. And it's not a chick flick.
Yeah. Okay.
Fuck you.
Chick flick. Let's move on to video games then.
Nobody wants to talk about video games. Who plays video games anymore?
You played video games yesterday with me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we played this. Well, he and I tried out two demos. He's lying. Both of them only on PlayStation because they were PlayStation exclusives.
He's still lying.
No, I'm not.
You're going to have to record it now.
I've never seen him before in my life.
Sure you have.
Yes, you have. You've seen me for the past,
2 years? It's 7 years now. Hmm?
Do you ever say, I've seen you for the past 2 years?
Sucker! Okay, man. You know when you see that weird breath thing in the morning near your window?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that was left by me.
Wait, so my other stalker is gone?
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man, at least he just stalked me. She wants to steal my underwear.
No.
While I'm still in them.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Nice. Let's talk about...
That movie was horrible, though.
Let's talk about this demo we tried out for Eat Them, where you destroy cities with your own personal Godzilla-like monster. You basically start... Okay.
Eat them.
Sorry.
Eat them.
Sorry, I'm just picturing these giant monsters eating giant boxes of denials.
So you basically start out, there's just a scientist who's showing off his newest creation in public in the giant city. What could possibly go wrong?
Absolutely nothing.
Alright, monster moves up and down. Here's how he destroys towns. Oh no, something's wrong with the machinery! Monster's going crazy! He's eating all the people! Destroying the towns and all the helicopters!
So basically, if you're running low on life, you eat people. They give you life. You can eat the cops who are shooting at you. Hmm. And you crush buildings.
And you destroy towns. And you can breathe fire and shoot missiles.
Yeah, the one I used actually fired missiles. It was awesome.
So do you get more points for eating things that are bigger or bigger?
If you eat old ladies, you get more points.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it called? Granny something? Granny snack?
Granny pack.
Granny pack.
The nice. Granny pack.
Nice.
So if you eat old women, you get more points.
Yep.
Granted, they can't move as fast as everything else.
But it's funnier.
Of course. I threw a tank.
What was the whole thing about the zombie apocalypse? The first rule is trip the old ones?
No, push the old people over and run.
That's how it was.
Or just like in the movie, The Next 3 Days. You have to be able to push an old person down and continue running. Because I saw that movie too.
Yep.
But we won't talk about it.
Now, what was cool about this game was the whole comic book feel it had. And really look.
Did. Yeah.
The cell shader was neat. And I love the gameplay. Come on, let's face it. Who has one of those shitty days where you just want to rampage through the town as a giant monster?
Eating people?
Yeah, eating people.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Charles Manson.
Cannibalism, yeah.
Yes.
That's what I do.
That's the game that I was thinking of. This sounds a lot like Rampage.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Tour. Yeah.
It's actually a little bit better.
The graphics are better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can actually crush things better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on Rampage, you'd hit it and the whole building fell?
Yeah.
This, you actually have to work your way through the building and destroy it.
Oh, no kidding.
You actually just break down one section to sleep.
And there was one other game that I thought of while playing this. Primal Rage.
Yeah.
A game that I want there to be a sequel for. There needs to be a sequel to this game.
No, it doesn't.
But I think it was from Acclaim, and you know what happened to Acclaim. Oof.
Moment of silence.
Yeah.
That's not a moment of silence.
It's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, this was a fun demo. And I had a good time with it. Not one of the best games out there. You know, in my opinion, I wish there was a new Primal Rage or a new Rampage ending type thing. Yeah.
See.
Is it only PS?
Yes.
Oh, son of a bitch.
But it was still a fun game.
I would have to give this a 3.7 out of 5.
I'm actually going to roll up to a 4.1.
Okay. So.
It looks like comics.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how the opening sequence is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then it goes into the monster battle thing. Yeah, skip forward more to.
No, okay. All right, fine. I'll skip forward. Oh, wow. Well, I like the 3D S.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. Wait, are you actually that big when you're playing it?
Yeah.
The show? Okay. It does look cool, I have to admit.
And you like jump on top of buildings and stuff.
Nice.
Yep. And destroy things. And it's all, trust, it looks really good. I've heard some decent reviews for it. Maybe I can download it and do a full-on review of it as soon as I'm done with all the E3 reporting.
Blonic, eat Zilla. It's kind of like eat Zilla.
Yeah.
The other game that we got to try out, kind of reminiscent of Split Second, MotorStorm Apocalypse.
Except in this, you can drive as a truck, a car, an ATV, or a motorcycle.
Yep. And unlike Split Second, you can't control when the tracks change. Yeah, it's like natural disasters.
And the track itself isn't smooth. Like, it's already been like an earthquake hit, so there's actually some like small jumps and imperfections, and this thing just toppled over.
Which is why this game was canceled from being released in Japan. No lie. This game was actually canceled from being released in Japan.
Because it actually looked like an earthquake hit and terrorized everything.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it looks like a good game.
Yeah.
Controls are horrible.
Well, that's the thing. When you start playing a game like this, you need to get used to it.
Yeah, but truthfully, like I'm sitting there full on cutting out, and the thing wasn't turning quick enough. And you were slamming into things.
Well, remember, this is just a demo, so perhaps the full-on game will be better.
I mean, hopefully, because like I said, it looks good. But the controls are horrible.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. As of right now, I'm going to give it a 3.2.
And I'm going to give it a 4.3.
Wait, so the demos, is the real games usually better than the demo?
It can be.
It can be. It
can be. Or they can be a hell of a lot worse.
Right.
Okay.
Now, I know Blonic will probably write about this.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we need to discuss it, because this was 14 years in the making.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Duke Nukem Forever. You got the game.
Yeah, I actually bought the Balls of Steel edition.
Which came with that little bust?
Yeah, it came with a little bust. It is, I thought it was going to be like one of those crappy little hollowed out statues that usually you get screwed with or something like that, but it's got weight to it. It doesn't look hollowed out.
Is it the poly resin?
Yeah, I think so. It has detail to it. It has everything. It looks pretty. And it's about yay big, though, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was going to be a little bit bigger, but, not that lucky.
Yeah.
But, it did come with 2 poker chips. I was kind of disappointed about the cards, though. The cards, really? they're about yay big. Like, yay big.
Yes.
And they didn't have any naked chicks on them. I was expecting naked chicks.
It's horrible.
I mean, it does have like kind of like the cutout naked woman like on like small little parts of the card with the nuclear symbol on them. But I was expecting like to see some funny things from the actual, like, you know, when you see the jack and the queen and the king. Nothing.
Yeah,
just regular cards.
I have a feeling that just because of ESRB regulations.
Yeah, well, seeing that every mom went out and bought this for their kids, especially the Balls of Steel edition.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, along with that, it came with its own comic book. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It has, like, a little comic book of, like, side things of him fighting sharks for some reason.
It was, like, a special edition?
Yeah. And then it also had the postcards of, like, some of the pictures of him in his, you know, fortress, basically.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to beat the whole game yet. Between work and just playing the game, there are points where I've gotten kind of pissed off about a lot of the play. Because, like, certain parts where you get shrunk, there's kind of parts where you have to, like, get up on stuff.
Yeah.
So, let's put it this way. In order for me to get to this push, the push button to turn, to open up a door, I had to climb up onto a poker table.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the Russian roulette tables. And then you have to jump, you have to hit a chair. And sometimes I felt like there was a little bit of an issue with the jump buttons, because I was jumping, and even Tag was with me watching this, and he was laughing at me the whole time, bastard, when I have to hit that part, get onto the other table, hit another chair, get onto another table, and then jump onto the couch. The couch would bring me back over to the wall to finally press the button. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, this game has been pretty crazy. I haven't really had to go through any of anybody else's walkthroughs in order to get to the game. It's basically some parts are tactical where you're going to have to hide a little bit more and then put out as much as you can launch and then back into hiding. Graphics, I still feel like this could be a little bit better. I think they could have done a little bit better of a job, but I think they more or less wanted to keep it kind of cartoonish back to the old game that, you know, when they came out, but I can't get everything I want. There has been some times where it has messed up on me. I had to actually replay a little bit of the area in order to get it to keep going.
What do you mean? How is it messed up?
There's a part where I'm on the crane system, or this part that actually goes through, and I have to fight this big squid.
Yeah.
I was, when I was at this one part, there was the aliens that were flying around and stuff like that, and I went to blow them up. And then they disappeared behind the other side, so I couldn't get to them. And that was the problem that I was having, was I was like, do I have to jump off this sucker in order to go after him? Or I was just stuck, actually.
Yeah.
So I had to just reload from the last checkpoint, and I was able to take him out, and then it got me to that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things where it's not perfect, but hey, at least it's here now, and we can't complain about it not being here anymore.
Right. So what do you give for a grade for it so far?
As of so far, playing up to what I've played to 4. 4 probably easily right now, because I do love the whole fact that now I'm able to play the Duke Nukem game right on my console. I mean, beforehand you were able to download that and play it anyways, like the old Duke Nukem.
Right.
If you weren't getting motion sickness because of the whole friggin' thing and with the old graphics and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh man, I thought I was going to puke.
Right. Now, is there plenty of nudity in the actual game itself?
Oh yeah, definitely, but it kind of pissed me off because of the fact that what happened to the women that got, you know, captured and stuff like that by the aliens.
Yeah.
They're getting impregnated by the other things. So when you go up to them, yes, they're moaning and screaming and all this other stuff. And then if you go up to them closer, they explode and those little aliens come after you. So you can't physically save the women. So more or less what you're doing is laying waste to a bunch of the women.
Yikes.
Just because of the fact that you don't want to just keep on trying to have to kill those little squid alien bastards that are trying to get after you. But there is nudity. And you get to see, you know, from the video that, you know, you see them pop up, those two hot girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get captured. And there is kind of a joke that's saying, oh, come on, Duke, save us and whatnot, and we can lose the weight, no problem. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I don't know. And then they explode and you have to kill all the aliens that were...
That sucks. Came.
Yeah, it sucks. Spoiler alert, but whatever.
What do you think the best weapon is?
Which is why he goes, why, damn it, why do they always take the hot ones?
Yeah, the Devastator, I would have to say, is the best one. It's like two, like a double lock, a rocket launcher. It shoots out like two rockets at a time on both sides of the gun.
Uh-huh.
That one's the most destructive. Next to that, I would say one of the light guns or something like that. It depends also. I'd say the shotgun is... Whenever those big ass the pigs and whatnot are coming after you, you gotta just rock the shotgun a couple times on them and they drop and you can either rip their face off or curb stomp them or do whatever the hell you want because it's one of those crazy games. I did enjoy it very much.
Nice.
When I get to play it, so whenever I'm walking around at work and the kids are like, "Hey, how you doing?" Yeah, you know, I would be a lot better if I was at home playing Duke Nukem and kicking some ass and taking some names. But no, I have to be here watching you little bastards. But yeah, that's basically my take on that. It is a good game. I would suggest to rent it, buy it, whatever you want to do. Try it out and see if you like it. I don't think it's everybody's cup of tea because apparently there have been people complaining about it.
A lot of people have been complaining about
it. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with the monster truck. The monster truck I was driving fine.
So it looks like they fixed the problem I was having at PAX East.
Possibly. I mean, even when I played the demo and stuff like that, when they did that release thing for, you know, open party access and whatnot.
Yeah.
The strip club. Ka-ching! Yeah, I like the strip club. You know, it's pretty nice. Some of the women are wearing tassels, and some of them are not. But, yeah, they definitely did a good job on that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Perfect.
So I have a question, because I've never really played Duke Nukem before, but I played like Doom and stuff like that. So do you think I would like it, you know, if I've only played Doom? I know I've never...
If you played, like, the old Doom and whatnot, and, you know, all the other type games that... were back in the day of the PC, I think if you And if you're a PC type person and you play this on the PC, you'll probably love it more. I mean, right. Tag was with me and he was playing on the controller. He's like, give me a goddamn keyboard and mouse. Oh, I hate this controller thing. Yeah, so he's more of the PC person. I'm a console person. Although I do like my PC, I don't have a PC to play on right now because everything's just gone.
Okay.
So, okay.
But I do say that if you like Duke beforehand, you're going to love him again.
Awesome. All right.
Sounds good.
So let's wrap things up. Remember, visit our website at bostonbashbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, videos.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
It's hot. That's what it is.
Yes, it's hot. Sorry.
See, I'm the one wearing the Bruins sweater.
Yeah, are you hot?
Yeah, but I'm thirsty.
Yeah, that too.
And I'm just, you know, full of liquid.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a drink with him.
You are 80% water.
Yeah. Let's try it again.
And you look like you're 99%.
Visit our website at bostonbastardbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, if there's anything you want us to talk about on the show, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And you can follow Anvil here at Anvil63.
When I do decide to write.
Say that three times fast, bitch. Yep, as he pukes off screen. Anyways, we're
ew,
also
looks
on...
looks like Vancouver colors.
Ah, what have you been eating, sir? Anyways,
Canadian bacon.
I did not turn your vomit blue and green. Anyways.
And I was also eating Mexican.
Oh, that will do it. Yeah. That will do it.
Her name was Monique.
Oh, yikes.
Okay, I'm not going to even ask. I don't know who it is, but I'm not going to even ask.
Yeah.
Right. But she was born Bob.
Oh.
Ah! Now you tell me.
All right, anyways, next to that, we're also on MySpace, and who gives a crap about that? But Facebook, if you look on Facebook, you can find us that way by typing in Boston Bass Brigade.
We've got the group and the page.
Yes, we have the group and page. We have to fix that, too, because I thought it was magazine. But next to that, we have those two parts up, so if you just like us on that, or otherwise... you know, check us out on that, and you can leave everything on there to check it out.
Issue
also
3
got...
of the Electric Sisterhood is coming out.
Nope, no, closer. Okay, electric, yeah, there you go. That's the new magazine that's out now.
Yeah.
By us, the July 2011.
Yeah, I've got reviews of Hayate the Combat Butler, the video game Stacking. I did a Shit I Dig, and I did a fiction story where I interview a tentacle monster from hentai films.
I'm scared now.
Me too.
He didn't try to rape you or touch you in any fashion or way, right?
He's retired. He does culinary arts now.
Okay. What's his? I still don't want him touching my food. Screw that.
Check out our friends over at the Electric Sisterhood and Gamer Reaction while you're there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, check out CageTitanFC.com. Show our friends over at Cage Titan some love. And if you're on Facebook, check out Richo Photography.
Yep.
Great photographer. He's got some good stuff from Cage Titan, some other fights from different organizations. So go check him out while you're there.
Check out Matt the Watt as well what is that again? Design with Charm.
Designwithcharm.com.
Along with that, speaking of tentacle monsters, there is this line from Duke Nukem. Whenever you kill a squid, he says, take that back to Japan, you tentacle raping thing or something like that along the lines. It's pretty funny. But I don't know if it's racist or not. next to that, I think we're done, right?
Right.
Right, Mr. Q's?
Yes.
Are we done?
Yes, we're done.
Sure?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Because I've got to go to work at some point. Why?
So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Blue.
Mr. Q's.
And Anvil.
Saying sayonara, bitches. We are the Bastards. Remember, 100th episode next week.
Next week.
And also remember,
we got the cup. We got the cup. We got the cup. We got the cup.